So our sermon today is based on a reading from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. And of course, we usually use the New Revised Standard Version, but this King James Version has the word wrestling in it, and we needed to have that word in there. So, and I'm starting a verse before, but we'll pick up verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Thank you, God, for being the source of our power and our courage. So where were we? As you know, we're going through the New Testament alphabetically and backwards from Z to A. So where were we? Well, yes, we took a look at Zacchaeus, that wee little man, for Z. There's no X unless we want to exaggerate, but that's exasperating. For Y, we heard Jesus tell us, you must be born again, born from above, born anew. After Pentecost and after spending some time waiting in the river of healing and following wherever the river goes, we're back on track with W. W for wrestling. I confess I have gone to my share of WWF or WWE events. Well, when you have a little kid that's obsessed with wrestling, you're bound to attend an event sooner or later. So several times when he was little, I drove to Louisville so Dan could see his heroes live and in person. When he went to summer camp, I had to watch his shows for him and take notes about what happened. Why didn't I just DVR them? Because that's the kind of thing you do for your kid. It was more fun to watch Dan and see his excitement when one of the guys he'd seen on TV actually marched out in front of his eyes. Even now in his 30s, pushing 40, Dan still enjoys watching WWE, or it's AWE or something like that now, and he enjoys going to matches. I've never told him what we all probably know. Spoiler alert, it's fake. It's all fake. Well, not all wrestling is fake. As believers, we are constantly wrestling, grappling, going to the mat, trying to pin down some formidable opponents. But according to Paul, a hero in his own right, the ones we fight aren't human flesh and blood as we are. No, our foes are spiritual. That makes them even harder to fight than the foe we can see. They're sneaky and cagey, wily and slippery. They're invisible, but not invincible. As we follow the loving, uniting, exhilarating, exciting example of the one who leads us, even Jesus the Christ, our enemies follow the divisive, alienating, angry, hateful example of the one who leads them, the Satan, the one who has been God's enemy from the very beginning of time. These days, HaSatan is desperate. He knows he's going to lose eventually. But by gum golly, he's going to try to take as many of us down with him as he can. In his last-ditch ongoing attempts to undermine God and to gain more followers, the Satan sends out his minions to worm their way into our lives and throw wrenches at us, what Paul elsewhere calls fiery darts, to make us doubt, to make us despair, and to take us to the edge of giving up. Paul knows what and who we're up against. He's had his battles with the adversary himself, and he presents to us here in Ephesians the tools we need to fight back, tools he vouches for because he's used them successfully himself. Since this is a spiritual warfare, the things we use to fight people are of no use: guns, knives, nuclear bombs. See, the thing is, as I just said, the foes are invisible and pretty elusive. They don't come and fight you face to face. They're too cowardly to do that. Instead, they get at you in really underhanded ways. For example, they get in your head and start telling you things. Things like, you're not good enough to be saved. Jesus doesn't really love you. Life is worthless. You're worthless. God is weak, but our master is strong. Come to the dark side. We have cookies. What we need to remember most when we're at our least powerful is that we are not alone. We are not fighting this enemy by ourselves. The enemy would have you believe you're not strong enough to stand up to him, that nobody has your back and nobody cares enough to fight with you. How wrong he is. God always has your back. We don't fight in our own strength. We rely on God to give us holy power and protection. We're on God's tag team. A tag team match is always a highlight of a WWE affair. Sometimes two dissimilar wrestlers are paired up to fight another pair of dissimilar wrestlers. Sometimes they were enemies, but they came together to fight the other wrestlers. Whenever one of them is in distress, whenever the battle gets to be too much, the other wrestler reaches out to him or her so he or she can be tagged and take over. Whenever the battle for us gets to be too much, all we have to do is tag God, tap into God's strength, God's wisdom, God's love, and God comes to fight for and with us. We rely on God to hear our cries for help and for rescue. This is when we use our most forceful spiritual weapon of all, the power of prayer. It's a holy struggle against spiritual powers, so we need to use spiritual weapons against them. And our strongest spiritual weapon is prayer. We know God is a God always near, a God always ready to listen to us, a God always ready to defend us and save us from our dire straits. Because after all, we are God's children, and God is not about to give us over to the forces of evil. Right now, we're all teetering on the edge of despair. There's so much going on that we can barely hold our hearts high and believe in a better tomorrow. But there will be a better tomorrow, a time when all of God's promises come true, every last one of them. We know the evil adversaries aren't going to win. We know one day a glorious kingdom will come, a kingdom of light and love, not darkness and hate, a kingdom where all are accepted and none are turned away, a kingdom of peace and rest and praise. That's why we wrestle. We wrestle with ourselves sometimes to accept that, yes, we are worthy and we are loved. We wrestle with guilt, saddened to know not everyone has come to faith as we have. We wrestle with fatigue and indifference and ignorance, but Paul assures us, put on the whole armor of God and find your strength and stand tall and firm, undaunted, undefeated. You can do it because God has equipped you with all the right stuff you need. We don't have time today to delve into all the pieces of armor gives us. Maybe we can spend time studying them next year. But I will list them for you today. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Most important, you must don the helmet of salvation. Protect your thoughts. Watch what you watch. Ideologies and conspiracy theories and outright lies bombard us from every side. If you let them into your head, they will affect your heart. So protect your mind and your heart. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Think and reason and ask God for clarity of thought. Ask God to show you the untruths that are being thrown at you from many different angles. God's marching orders to us are not to conquer and destroy. God tells us to use the power of love to stand up to those who are against us. God tells us to use the power of prayer to make a change and a difference in the world. Again, it's that soul force, like we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, talking about how the people in Buffalo reacted to the horrendous shooting by offering their time and their money and their love to that desperate neighborhood. That's a powerful weapon, returning love when faced with hate. We wrestle more as a form of self-defense rather than trying to take out our opponents. You see, we already know the outcome of the spiritual war. We know God will win, and when God wins, we win. Paul assures us in one of his later epistles that we don't wrestle in vain. We are overcomers. We are living in the light of God that dispels all darkness, even spiritual darkness in high places. Well, what do you think that is? Darkness is an emblem of ignorance, misery, and sin. I would liken spiritual darkness to people who profess to be Christians and use the Bible in mock stunts of power and yet never do anything even remotely Christ-like, or people who misquote and even twist Bible verses to serve their own ends and agendas. This spiritual darkness includes the systems and structures and habits that are racist, misogynistic, hedonistic, faithless, and materialistic. Not one of those is a quality found in God's kingdom of acceptance and love, God's realm of truth, righteousness, peace, and faith. This is why we wrestle, to make the realm we dream of a reality. We battle against everything that opposes God's desire for God's children, not only in the future, but in the here and now, right now. We are walking on the path of righteousness, clothed in faith and secure in God, but we got to get ready for the battle. People are wrestling with different things, and we need to acknowledge that and join in their struggle for acceptance, for clarity, for hope. We are called to tear down barriers rather than erect new ones. We are called to invite people in, not shut people out. We wrestle so that in the end we can stand with our hands held up high in victory and our hearts finally at rest. Let us trust in the spiritual weapons God offers us and take them with gratitude. Let us constantly be in contact with our commander through prayer. And let us always watch out for one another. As I said last week, we need each other, a community. Pentecost created a community of believers who took care of each other and had all things in common. We are all struggling. Even those who look like they've got everything all together, they struggle too. They're just good at hiding how hard they have it. We shouldn't make it harder for each other to cope and have hope. We shouldn't add on another burden to those someone else may already be carrying. We need each other to commiserate and to warn and to share stories of our own overcoming. We're comrades, compatriots, and we take care of each other. We let the weary ones rest. We reassure the frightened ones. We heal the wounds, both physical and mental, of those who have been hurt. We form a phalanx of overlapping shields that enable us to invade enemy territory and push them back, all the while protecting ourselves and each other. Let us draw out and draw on the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. In Scripture, we can always find a word of encouragement. We can always find something positive that reminds us how strong we truly are and how we've already won, how we're more than conquerors through Christ. Never forget that through Christ and in Christ, you're a winner. Never let your head hang down low and never drop your guard. Turn to God for coaching and courage. In the end, you will still be standing, not in your own power, but in the power of God. That is the power to heal and make whole. That is the power to move mountains and split seas. Be ever on the alert. Be strong in the Lord. Stand firm in the gospel of peace. Listen, the bell is ringing, signaling the start of the match. Step into the arena and let's get ready to rumble. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for preparing us for the spiritual battles ahead. Thank you for always being in our corner. Thank you for the armor you have sent to protect us. And thank you for Jesus Christ, who himself fought the good fight of faith and secured the victory for us already. Amen.